check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by your other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right. You know, it's a day. It's something, that's for sure.
Sure is. And today, on this episode at least, we are reviewing the movie Azrael, however you say it. And that is coming up later in the show. But before we get there, let's start off. Ike, what did you watch this week?
Oh boy, I actually watched quite a bit. So for point of reference, we are reviewing, doing this episode on the 5th. So this last week was Halloween. So on Halloween night, after the episode released, I did sit down and watch Trick or Treat, as is customary for our Halloween tradition. And then I also, since then, got on a kick and watched a bunch of movies. My first kick was the Hell House movies. I watched a few of them last week, and then I was like, yeah, I just need to finish up 3 and then watch the new, what is it, Hell House Origins. Mm-hmm. So check that out. 3 was all right, but Origins was excellent. It was really good.
Yep.
So I'm excited for the next one, which I believe is called Lineage. And then I also got on a little bit of a zombie kick. I watched all of the Resident Evil movies, as well as the really bad House of the Dead 1 and 2 movies from like the 2000s. They're supposed to be based on the arcade cabinet, but they're not very good. and then I also got into a little bit of a found footage kick, and I watched the movies The Houses October Built 1 and 2. And then I watched Horror in the High Desert 1 and 2, and I started 3 today, but that got cut short because I got busy.
Right. Is that it?
Yeah, that'll do it. I watched a bunch.
You were on a roll. I didn't want to interrupt. Let's see. What did I watch? I just watched a couple things. I watched the new movie Cryptids on Screambox that came out today with Joe Bob Briggs. It's okay. A little goofy, a little cheesy. Then I also watched the movie Hayride to Hell on Tubi. It has Bill Moseley in it and Kane Hodder. It's okay again. A little cheesy, but not bad. And then I started to watch the new Doc of Chucky on Shudder about the Child's Play franchise from the same guys that did the Never Go to Sleep Nightmare documentary and the Crystal Lake Friday the 13th documentary, and it's really, really good, but it's like, these documentaries are like 5 hours, so I haven't got all the way through it yet, but so far, so good. Where I'm at is just getting into Child's Play 2, so pretty cool. I love hearing all the behind-the-scenes stuff of these movies and how they came to be, so I highly recommend that on Shudder. And then that's it. Just our movie for this week otherwise, and then I think that does it. So, let's move on to our first segment.
Order up!
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy!
And this is our cheesy slasher of the week. This is where Ike and I present to you just what it says, a cheesy slasher for you to watch. And I will say for your viewing pleasure, because maybe it won't be. I don't know. But our choice this week is Attack of the Killer Donuts. The movie was released November 17th, 2017, written by Nathan Dalton, Chris DeChristopher. That's a name right there. When I did this, I was thinking, you know, what would it be like to be named Christopher De Christopher? That's just intriguing. Well, I guess I don't know that it's Christopher. But anyway, Raphael Diaz Wagner, and the movie was directed by Scott Wheeler, starring Justin Ray, Cassandra Wedges, Michael Swann, and others. The movie is described simply as a chemical accident turns ordinary donuts into bloodthirsty killers. As some fun facts on the movie, the police officers in the movie are named Rodgers and Hammerstein after the musical composers. There's a line in the movie that says a house is, quote unquote, like a museum because you can't touch anything. This was taken from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And there's another line in the movie that says, quote, me hitting you and you hitting the floor, unquote, was taken from Breakfast Club. And this movie is available to watch on Peacock. Now, I will say, this is a cheesy slasher that I have yet to see. I've not watched it yet. Not 100% sure if I will ever dive in and watch it, but killer donuts. You know what? I love donuts, so I'm thinking I'm still going to try to eat those suckers. I don't care what happens, but there you go, though. That is the cheesy slasher of the week, Attack of the Killer Donuts. So let's move on. Talk to us, Internet! It's time now for Talk to Us, Internet. That's where Ike and I either respond to some listener feedback or we just discuss something, a point, or whatever it might be that we pulled off of social media, which is what this is today. And this is almost borderline a horror hot take, or at least a hot take, because I have to vent. On social media, and this is pretty much every damn platform, ever since Halloween, I have seen way too many posts of quote unquote, went to work dressed up or wherever, and I was sad nobody recognized my costume. Ike, have you seen any of these?
Yeah, I mean, I have seen them before, but I think I need a little more context. What are we talking here? Like,
It's just people posting pictures of themselves with whatever they dressed up for Halloween. And then saying they went to whatever, went to school, went to work, whatever else, and nobody recognized what they were dressed up as, and they were sad or
oh, okay.
whatever it might be, or discouraged. And I'm like, okay, number one, 90% of the pictures, I here, I'm a positive guy and I'm very encouraging, but I gotta say this. 90% of these pictures I've seen, I wouldn't know what they were either. Because most of these people that are posting these, their costumes are so plain. They just look like something they would wear day to day. So I don't, why did, I don't, you know, why did nobody recognize it? Probably because it's not a very distinctive costume, first and foremost. Number two, even if this has happened, why are they posting it on social media? Why is this something for people to put out there? What, this sounds like a very desperate cry for attention to me, and it drives me nuts. So what? No one recognized your costume. Why are you going on social media and posting this? Who cares? It's like, why do you need some vindication for your costume? What, I mean, I don't understand. This is the most, I'm seeing way too much of it. It is taking it too much of my time just purely by scrolling and seeing this crap. And this is whatever has irritated me to no end all now. And we're whatever, a week from Halloween, a week past Halloween, and I'm still seeing tons of them every day. And I am so sick and tired of it. People, get over it. If the people didn't recognize you, maybe your costume just sucked. And maybe you should just get over it.
I feel what you're saying. I think I do have to agree. As someone who's worked in an office, I now work from home just because of COVID and everything else. But prior to working from home, I would go to office and around Halloween time, we'd have like office events where people dress up, especially if Halloween was on a weekday. And there were a number of times where a person would dress up as something kind of funky or, obscure, and they'd always, hit me with the, like, oh, this is weird that nobody knew what I was dressed up as, and I do like to think that I'm a somewhat worldly man. I've seen quite a few movies. I've been quite a few places, but there is something to say that, when we don't recognize your costume, perhaps it's not an us problem. Maybe it's a you problem.
Yeah, because the majority of these costumes, they're clearly haven't put much effort into it. I
Right.
mean, they're the most of these are the most vague costumes ever. And it could be like, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm not saying that everybody has to dress up and be have a spectacular costume. I am completely supportive of people dressing up as anything they want. I don't care if it's an obscure character. But guys, if it is an obscure character or whatever it might be, or if you kind of throw something together last minute, or if you don't share maybe physical characteristics with that character that makes it a little more challenging to place them, it's okay. Don't get mad if people don't recognize you. I mean, that's I don't know. It's just like sometimes you just can't tell, you know, because, you know, I mean, I have long hair and a beard. There's certain things that if I dressed up as something that had, you know, a shaved head and no facial hair, it's already going to put a couple strikes against me because I of that physical, you know, attribute. And it's just going to make it difficult. But I don't know why people are taking to social media to post this. It's like, why? Why? Why do you need people to come out and give you vindication? Because the thing is, the majority of these I'm reading the comments and people aren't recognizing it either. And it's like all you're doing is just like you're setting yourself up for more difficulty.
Right.
I don't know. I don't understand people wanting to get some vindication on social media for anything. You know, I like social media to see some maybe some, you know, cool stuff that I'm into that I like, some cool pictures or facts or posts about things that I enjoy, right? Things that are hobbies to me. Or and then to share the like. But frankly, on a personal level, I really don't care if anybody likes it or shares it or enjoys it. Now, you know, obviously, professionally speaking for the podcast, I hope the whole world sees it and shares it just because I
Right.
want to network.
Of
But
course.
that's not a personal, I don't need that love and support. Now I'm not knocking people that want to go out and I understand you can make friends through social media and you can have a degree, a type of a social life through social media, make friends. I get that. I understand that. I have people that I consider are friends that are just purely, you know, online type friends or whatever you want to call it, you know, just through Facebook or X or whatever that I discuss things I like and I consider myself to be kind of a form of friends with them and that we've never met in real life, maybe never will. But, you know, that's okay. But man, I'm just seeing so many of these posts and it's like I'm just ready for it to pass.
Yeah, I think this is a symptom of Halloween, you know, one of those things where, you know, and it happens with, I think, with normal costumes as well. Like, oh, I went to this party and nobody, you know, recognized me and this, that, and the other. So I feel you. I feel you. It can be annoying. And like you said, social media seems to be a cesspool for things like this. And, you
Yeah,
know, I mean,
and it's like it wouldn't annoy me if people were just posting pictures of their costumes and saying, "Hey, you know, I dressed up as Harley Quinn. Check it out. I'm cool with that. Show off your costume, right? I don't care if it's good or bad. Just show it off." But this thing of no one recognized me, give me some attention, just sounds desperate to me. I'm like, I'm all about, you know, if you want to show off your costume online, that's fine. You know, be proud of it. I don't care if it's good, bad, or whatever. If you put some effort into it. Which some people clearly did not. But if you put some time into it and you want to show it off, that's cool. You know, show it off, post the picture, say, hey, this is I dressed up as X and this is what I came up with. My take on it, so be it. That's fine. I'm cool with that. It's just the way these things are phrased. I don't know. There's something about it that just I don't know. It's just rubbing me the wrong way. But maybe it's just the old man in me. So let's move on.
Stump the co-host.
And on the segment, we are playing Stump the Co-host. This is our trivia game where Ike and I have identical horror trivia decks. We each draw two cards from the deck. That is a total of four questions. There's two questions per card, obviously. And we alternate asking each other these questions to determine who wins for this episode. Now we have played this. We played it last year. And in 2023, Ike was the champion. He won four times to my three times. And we also had three draws. Now, so far in 2024, Ike is leading with four wins to my two wins. And we have two draws. So I am trying to stay competitive in this thing. So I need to pull out a win or two to close that gap a little bit. Ike, are you ready to play Stump the Co-host?
I certainly am.
All right. Well, since you are in the lead, I'm putting you in the hot seat and I'm asking you the question first. Here we go. Which actor asks, quote, "You mean there are snakes out there this big?" unquote, in the movie Anaconda?
Oh man, I have seen Anaconda, and it has been a while since I've seen Anaconda.
Well, I will say you're a brave man for admitting that. Sorry. I'm
No,
not
I
a fan of Anaconda, but
yeah,
so be it.
but it's Anaconda is a movie. It's something. So, but I know that there's two people specifically in this movie who would maybe say that, and it's either going to be Jennifer Lopez or Ice Cube. But like I feel like either of them could have said this quote, but like I just don't remember. So I'm going to lean towards Ice Cube and say it was him.
Ice Cube is correct.
Whew.
All right. So Ike has one to start us off. All right. So go ahead and lay that first question on me.
All right. This first one is, what European director of the classic 1977 film Suspiria is also known as the Italian Hitchcock?
That was Sergio Argento.
Yep, that is right. Dario Argento, it is the Italian Hitchcock, which I've never heard him be called before.
Me neither, and I'm not sure where they're pulling that, but so be it. All right, here is your second question. What kind of powers do the scanners possess in the 1981 film Scanners?
So they can just blow up people's heads, right? Or is it like a specific power?
Yeah,
Like,
it's a little more specific.
is it like telekinesis?
Yes, it is telekinetic and telepathic powers, but we're going to lump those together. So yes, that is correct.
Very good.
All
All right.
right.
All right. Moving on to your next question. I feel confident you're going to get this. Damien Thorne is the name of what possessed child, or I'm sorry, in the of the possessed child in what 1976 movie?
The Omen.
That would be correct.
All right, I'm hanging with you. One of us has got to get something wrong, or we're going to end up with a draw here.
You go.
All right, your third question. Oh, this is an easy one. What snack is Tallahassee searching for in Zombieland?
He would be looking for the almighty Twinkie.
Twinkie it is. I love that part where they find that truck full of snowballs. That is hilarious.
Not the
All
flavor, it's
right.
the texture.
You know what? I can't say I like snowballs, so.
I do too. If I found a like a truck full of snowballs, I'd be all about that.
Yeah, I'd be
Okay.
okay. Now, granted, I'm with him. They're not Twinkies, but they're still pretty damn good. So, all right. So let's move on before we get into another food sidetracked as we so often do. So,
Happens. But all right, Vincent Price starred in this 1959 ghostly classic and invited five people to survive the night.
is it House on Haunted Hill?
It certainly is.
Right, we are down 3-3 with one question left apiece. So here we go. This is probably the most
I
neck and neck high pressure round we've ever had.
think so.
All right, this is your last question. The serial killer in Scream wears a mask inspired by which Edvard Munch painting?
Oh, is it? Oh my God! It's the one where he's like holding his face, and it's like all twisted.
Gonna have to
Oh
have the name.
God! Yeah, it's. Is it? It's not the Scream because that'd be too obvious. Is it the? Oh, I know this too. Like I've not seen like the original painting, but I have seen this painting before. I don't know. I can't think of it.
Oh, no guess?
I know it's like something like it's the something. So it's like the howl or the shout or the scream. It's not the scream. It's something like that, but I can't place it.
All right, so you're just giving up.
I think so.
The name of the painting is The Scream.
Oh my God. I thought that was too obvious. I thought it was like, there's no way it's the screen. There's no way. And then of course it is.
Oh my, I have a chance to win. If I can
All
get
right.
this fourth question right, I will have one and come closer. So here we go. Oh, this is too much pressure. I don't know if I can handle this.
All
Bring it on.
right. What big cat does Malcolm McDowell's character turn into after mating with a human woman in the 1982 film Cat People?
Well, I know Malcolm McDowell, but I do not. I've never seen Cat People. What big cat? So okay, I can guess. There's, obvious some a couple of obvious choices here. I am going to say a tiger.
That would not be correct. It is
God.
Black Panther.
See, there was a few choices there, and I went with the wrong one. Damn. So all I could do was muster a draw. Son of a bitch.
Happens. Happens to the best of us.
It happens too often. It's just, I need some wins. All right, I'm very disgruntled right now. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll have news, blah, 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 blah. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right. So we first have some news from Lionsgate. They have officially announced a third Orphan movie with Isabelle Fuhrman back to play Esther. There is no release date given quite yet, but it's on the books, and hopefully we'll see something great from that. Of course, the two Orphan movies that we've received thus far are both very superb films. Orphan and then or Orphan First Kill are both pretty decent little movies, and I gotta say I'm always down to see some more killing from Isabelle Fuhrman.
Yeah, me too. And it's I still marvel at the fact she can play this role and everything else. But yeah, I'm all about it. I like the concept of the Orphan. The first Orphan is just really, really good. But the second one's pretty solid as well. So yeah, I'm all about it. Bring on a third. Just keep the franchise going if you can.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Moving on to Black Phone 2 has officially began shooting on November the 4th. The movie is currently scheduled for release October 17, 2025, so about another year away. But it's exciting that they've started filming it. As we've talked about before, Ethan Hawke is going to be in this film. And from what I've also heard, this is supposed to be sort of a prequel about the Grabber. So it's very interesting. I'm very curious as to where this is going to go. But I'm excited nonetheless. Black Phone was a superb film, and I believe it made it into our top five when it came out.
Yeah, I think so. And yeah, I'm super looking forward to this. Love Ethan Hawke. Like this character, like the concept. I'm very much excited to get a second one, and gonna be good. Lots of things to look forward to next year.
Oh yeah, a lot of stuff. I feel like this has been a big year for horror movies. I feel like next year is also going to be a big year for horror movies. So,
Yeah, it's funny. We say that every year too. We said it last year. We said, oh, this was such a good year, but look at what we're having next year. And then there's been so much this year. We're like, man, this has been a great year. But now look at what's next year. Just horror is very hot right now. And all you have to do is look at the box office numbers. Look at how many horror movies have been number one on opening weekends. Look at how many horror movies have, done XYZ or whatever. Horror movies are, it's almost like easy money for the studios right now. They're all successful to some degree. None of them are bombs, right? They're all that are just doing well, whether it be whether they're on a streaming service and they're these little indie films that are surprising us and popping up and getting this big following and leading to bigger things, or these box. I mean, horror is just it's it right now, and we're getting so much good stuff. It's like every year there's just so much to look forward to, And we keep saying, oh man, it's so, there's so much, so good. What a year, what a year. And then we're like, oh my gosh, look at next year. It's like, it's wonderful. And it's a good time to be a horror fan. It's a good time to be doing a horror podcast because there's plenty for us to talk about and to watch, and we'd be doing it anyway, so why not just record us doing it? So it's a good time.
It really is. Very much is. Love, love, love it. And like you said, it keeps getting better every year. So, here in a couple of years, we'll have a Terrifier 4 to look forward to. So,
Yeah.
then we'll probably say, oh, this is the next big thing. It's a continuous growing thing. And it's just, I'm always happy to see it.
I mean, yeah, look at me, but look at the next, I mean, there's a Black Phone, right? Black Phone 2 coming out and whatever we know of. I don't even know what, I mean, I believe is Scream going to be out next, the next Scream supposed to be out next year? I don't know. Or is that a little further out? Whatever it may be, there's just all these things happening, right? And it's just exciting to see what's happening. I mean, we get the word of a new Orphan movie and this and that, and Chucky, the series was canceled, but they're saying, oh, well, okay, it's right. We're gonna make another movie now. And so it's exciting to see what becomes of that. And there's just so much happening that it's just so exciting to be a fan of horror right now.
It really, really is. What I think, what's the phrase that they use? Oh, it's a good time to be a horror fan. That's what they say.
That's pretty original, but
Yeah.
yeah,
Good
I mean, it's
time to
like, yeah, I mean,
be.
it's like, but it's great because it's like, I mean, I know we're rambling here a little bit on this, but it's, there's all these times where any decade there's good films, right? There's good horror films, and they have maybe have certain styles and certain approaches, right? But there's always good films, but it's like
Right.
I feel like we're just getting one right after another now. But not only that, it's like not only are we getting good films, but these films are doing well. They're being successful as well. So it's which th that 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 means it's just going to keep growing, right? Because we've said this, if you go see the films, if these films are doing well, if they're earning at the box office or whatever, they're going to keep doing more. And that's what's happening here. It's like horror's making money, horror's being successful. It seems to be the least risky genre out there right now. And that the studios are just getting on board for doing more and more because it's kind of the hot thing right now. So it's like, I mean, it's just this, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy that it's like, it's so good, but because it's so good and doing so well, it's just getting better. And it's just, man, it's a beautiful thing.
It really is. It's having what we would call a genre renaissance, for sure.
It is, and I love that part of that is the fact that there's a nice, just specifically a nice resurgence in slasher, right?
Yeah.
We're get because slasher's not been the predominant style for a little bit. I mean, there's been exceptions, right? But we're getting right now where some of the biggest films like Terrifier 3, like In a Violent Nature, or some they're kind of some old school type slasher movies, and I love that because that's my thing, that's my jam right there. So.
Right. That's my jam. But good stuff. But anywho, before we get too far down that rabbit hole, moving on
I think
to
it's too late for that, but okay.
true. We got to dig ourselves out of the rabbit hole now. But the anthology film Cryptids is now available on Screambox. Joe Bob Briggs stars as a paranormal radio show host. The movie features segments about Bigfoot, Frogman, who fucks, and Chupacabra and more. Love it. I mean, I love Frogman. Even if it's not like directed by our friends over at Frogman, it's still such a
Anthony
hello.
Cousins.
Yeah, good old Anthony. Even if it's not, made by Anthony, I'm sure the urban legend's still fun to make and to watch.
Yeah, like I said, I did watch this. It's a little goofy, but it's okay. It's fun. No offense to anybody involved. I will say the Frogman segment does not even hold a candle to the Frogman movie. So not even close. It's just not even the same realm. They should have brought Anthony on to do this segment and to expand on his idea because he's invested and loves it. Not saying this person doesn't, but it's again. Not as good as his movie. So, but
Way to go.
go watch Cryptids. It's fun.
I will definitely watch it. I love a good anthology. Always down for the anthology. But all right. On Halloween, Terrifier 3's Art the Clown and Lauren Lovera helped ring the NASDAQ closing bell. So horror and on paper visited horror in real life, because the stock market is just a horrifying thing for many reasons that I'm not going to get into. But that's fantastic, though. I love to see,
Just
go ahead.
blows my mind. I
It
mean,
does.
the pictures that came out showing all these people, all these guys in suits, and there's Lauren, right? She's just being her, and she fits right in with them, right? And but then right there in the middle, Art the Clown. This just blows my mind. I'm telling you, as number one, just as a fan of horror in general, that this happened blows my mind. But if you ever need more support, that Art the Clown has crossed to the next level as far as an iconic character. I mean, this kind of stuff shows that. And I will say, we ranted on about the post about Halloween costumes earlier. I will say, though, there has been a lot of other Halloween costume posts, right? Of just this was my Halloween cut, that your general type stuff. I gotta say that if there was a way to document it, I would have to say Art the Clown absolutely took the crown as probably the top costume of the year. Because I have seen so many people who dressed up as Art the Clown for Halloween just out there on social media. And I mean, we just keep getting more and more proof that art has crossed next level into being
Yeah.
an iconic horror character.
Which is crazy if you think about it, especially since the origins of Art the Clown are just like sort of this, for lack of a better phrase, sort of this unknown character from a short film that eventually evolved into a feature-length film that eventually got his own film. It's just crazy to think that this guy is literally being having costumes not only made of him, but like manufactured at like a high level. I mean, you could literally anywhere that there's a spirit Halloween, you could go and get an Art the Clown costume,
There's Art the
while
Clown stuff in Walmarts now.
right, which is
It's
crazy.
it is a trip. And Terrifier 3, the top grossing unrated movie of all time. And all this is happening, and all this, it's still, everybody needs to keep, this is still, technically, these are still indie films. There is no major production or film company backing this. They are still doing it themselves. So that blows my mind that of what these guys have created and built. And to think where, I mean, just when you think no more can happen, it does. So it's like, what's next? What's going to happen next for these guys? I mean, art's getting in video games and not just reeking. I mean, art, a downloadable character, Call of Duty,
Yeah,
which
for real.
I would have to say, I'm not a huge gamer. Arguably, Call of Duty, the greatest or most prolific video game franchise of all time. Like, is that a fair statement to at least have a discussion about?
Oh, I mean, you could 100% make the argument that it is. I mean, I was going to say it's probably the most prolific first person shooter of all time. But if you talk about the pure expanse and the pure number of people who play that game on a daily basis, I think you could probably argue it's one of the most popular video games of all time, period.
Yeah,
I mean,
and game after game after game, right? It
exactly.
continues to be successful, and Art the Clown's a downloadable character in that.
Yeah.
And Art has Funko Pops now, and Art has merchandise that has been in Walmarts. Merchandise, that is not only just in Spirit of Halloween, is one of their central characters, right? On advertising, on the signage and stuff. That was in. I mean, this is dude has crossed. That character has crossed to the next level as far as when you're listing iconic characters, most widely known general pop culture characters, horror characters, he's getting there, if not already. I mean, everybody knows Michael Myers, everybody knows Jason Voorhees, everybody knows Freddy Krueger. We're getting to that point. Everybody knows Chucky. We're getting to that point where damn near everybody knows now who Art the Clown is. Even if you don't watch the movies, even if you're not a horror fan, people are starting to see this mime-looking clown, and they're knowing, oh, that's Art the Clown, or that's that Terrifier guy, or however they recognize him. People are starting to know. And it's unreal. It is so cool to see something like this developing, like how it has. And again, goes right hand in hand with what we said, how popular, how successful horror movies are right now.
Oh,
This is like what you put on the billboard as an example. Right here is Terrifier and Art the Clown.
It really is. And I mean, we've been saying it for years now, probably, but I mean, excuse me, Art the Clown is a modern day horror icon. And I don't think that we've seen anything quite to the magnitude of Art the Clown, probably in decades. I mean, yeah, I mean, you got to think that when was the last time that you really saw a character like this expand across so many platforms so quickly?
I would venture to guess he's the most successful horror character since Ghostface.
Yeah, I would probably have to say that's probably true. I can't think of a single other person who has reached that level of prolificness in the last 20 years.
And he is right up there with all these the most recognizable stuff. And but he yeah, he's become I would have to say the most successful character, core character since Ghostface.
Yep. And not to mention, he is marketable as hell. I mean, come on. It's literally like a freaking silent mime who kills people. I mean, like, this
He
sumbitch is creepy as hell and he looks good. Like,
is. He's like these other characters. Even if they stop making the movies, they can make a ton off just merchandise. They keep merchandising him, and it's not gonna wane. It's not gonna go away. I mean, again, we've talked about it, I believe, last episode. Look at Sam from Trick or Treat.
yeah.
One movie without a theatrical release, and look how much merchandise this guy gets and how recognizable he is. And that's where he's getting. That no matter what they do with the movies and the franchise and how many more they make, or if they decide if they stop making, it doesn't matter anymore. He has still crossed that where you can license him out and they can make money just off the character alone. For I don't know, probably indefinitely,
I was
because
going to
I mean, we haven't had anything for Freddy Krueger and since the remake, when 20 years or 15 years or whatever it might be, and it doesn't slow down the sales of Freddy Krueger merchandise. And I mean, we haven't had anything from Jason Voorhees since what the Friday the 13th remake, which is again probably, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago again. And
Yeah, something like that. 2008, I think.
doesn't slow down the sell of, because people know, people recognize, people, and that's where Art's getting, if he's not already there.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's jump off our Terrifier bandwagon because we have a whole episode just talking about how Art the Clown is inarguably the most, prolific, monster or killer or whatever you wanted to classify him as.
Well,
He's just there.
I'm telling you, we talk about how successful horror is. There could be, I'm not going to go too deep into it. There could be a very strong argument made that the strength of horror right now is on the back of the Terrifier franchise. That it has helped take it, raise it to that level, and carried it. That all these other, that it is part of why horror as a whole is so successful. Because if you look at how successful it all is, Terrifier has been the centerpiece of all this, with the growing success and the marketability and whatever else. So there's something, what the rising tide raises all ships, as they say. And there could be an, I'm not, you know what? I mean, that could be a discussion. It's a debate, but I think there could be a very strong argument made where Terrifier is maybe the catalyst in this.
Yeah, I would, I would take a bet. I would hedge a bet on that argument myself. So, like you said, that's definitely, the more I think about it, I see what you're saying. Hey, that just makes sense, man. Can I say? But anyway, moving on to it has been announced that Robert Englund, speaking of good old Fred Krueger, he will be playing the role of Cricket, aka Jiminy Cricket, in the upcoming Pooniverse movie Pinocchio Unstrung, which is due out sometime in 2025. Now, it cannot be unsaid that the Pooniverse movies have so far very much impressed Dave and I, so we are very excited to see more from this and to see Pinocchio in this way, but also have famous names like our boy Robert Englund a part of this is just absolutely amazing, and I just makes me even more excited.
Yep, me too. I love these movies. Super excited for each one that comes out. And it just adds to it when you have Robert Englund, someone like that cast in it. I'm just builds my excitement. I can't wait. I'm a Pooniverse junkie. Love it.
I am a Pooniverse junkie, I feel that. But well, all right. That is it.
Give me that shit straight in the vein.
He's like, give me a, I need a hit. But
That might have been too far. I'm sorry.
no, it's all good. All right. And if he starts scratching the neck and he's like, yeah, man, just give me a little bit. Just give me a little hit. That's when he might need to get you in rehab. But I kid. But moving on from news and Dave's potential crippling Pooniverse addiction. upcoming.
It's a contentious point in this household because Monica hates those movies. She feels
Yeah.
like that these characters should not be the subject of horror movies. And I'm like, just give me every childhood character killing people. I'm good. Because I can separate the two, right? I can remember cute and cuddly Winnie the Pooh on the one hand, and I can remember bloodthirsty Pooh on the other hand. But yeah, there has been some discussions in this home about the Pooniverse and who's a fan and who's not a fan, so.
Yeah, I could see that. I could 100% see that. Knowing Monica, I can definitely see that
And then,
argument.
the timeless words of Tom Petty, I won't back down. So,
That's right. 'Cause I won't back down. Yeah. Upcoming birthdays. Starting us off strong, November 8th, back in the good old days of 1847, Bram Stoker, the author of Dracula. Of course, Bram Stoker is often heralded as one of the founding authors of horror. And of course, Count Dracula. Dracula is a very iconic and again prolific character of his universe.
Absolutely. And it's, I mean, one of those deals where the author's name is just so recognizable with it, right? I mean, there's been movies, Bram Stoker's, Stoker's Dracula, right? The name's out there. People know, even if you've not read the book, they know the name. So.
True. If you don't know Bram Stoker, you've at least heard of him. So, moving on to November 10th, 1950, we have Deborah Hill, the writer and producer of the original Halloween, Halloween 2, Halloween 3, The Fog, and many, many more. Deborah Hill oftentimes worked side by side with John Carpenter on many things, and she's a fantastic creator and is easily, equally responsible for the original Halloween and. That is a feat in of itself because the original Halloween is fantastic.
Yes, it is, and that is not an arguable point because such things have come straight from the lips of John Carpenter himself, who has said, you know what, these things wouldn't have happened if it hadn't. It wouldn't just be. It wouldn't have happened without Deborah Hill. So, what a talent, what a mind. No longer with us, but she gave us lots to be remember, whatever you want to say. I don't really know what I'm saying. She contributed a lot, and what a wonderful mind.
Absolutely. But moving on to a day later and a year later, Bill Moseley, known for his roles in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, House of Thousand Corpses, and many, many more. Bill Moseley does quite a few cameos these days as well in many
Pretty
films. So,
much any Rob Zombie movie he's in, and
yeah.
he was in Stream recently. He was in that Hay Ride to Hell that I just watched. He was really good in that, but the movie was a little campy, but he was good. But yeah, he's still he's a hell of an actor, and I don't know. I'm apparently good friends with Rob Zombie because anytime Rob Zombie makes a film, he puts Bill Moseley. Except for I don't think he was in The Munsters, but. He was in all those House of Without. He was all those movies, but yeah, I do like me some Bill Moseley.
Yeah, absolutely. Good old Bill Moseley.
Oh,
Let's
Bill.
Old Bill, and speaking of the old boys, not November 13, 1935, Tom Atkins, known for his role in Halloween 3, Night of the Living, I'm sorry, Night of the Creeps, Creepshow, The Fog, and many, many, many more. Remind me, he's the main guy, right? In
He's the
Halloween
doctor,
3?
the main doctor in Halloween 3. Yeah. Tom Atkins, absolute legend. He is, those movies right there alone. It's just that is a resume. But I don't care anything else he does. His role in Halloween 3 is just stupendous. And he's absolutely one of those guys that near the top of my list of actors that I would love to meet.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I think him, also Bill Moseley. I mean, those both those guys. I mean, like you said, they're just kind of legendary in their own sense. But moving on to some upcoming movie anniversaries. November 9th, 1984. As we were speaking of earlier, the legendary Nightmare on Elm Street. I can't do the music. The music's so specific and so clever, but of course, Nightmare on Elm Street. It is, speaking of music, has some of the best soundtrack music horror that you've ever seen. I mean, or I should say, ever heard. I mean, I would argue that it has some of the best music since Halloween. Halloween obviously had iconic music, but music cannot be understated when it comes to horror.
No, if you look at all the great franchises, I mean, Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, the song evokes something from you just hearing a few notes of it, right? I mean, they're legendary themes. And Nightmare was, Wes Craven. It was just it's an iconic film, iconic concept, created an iconic character. You can't. I mean, an iconic final girl. I mean, you can't speak to the impact of a Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, it is timeless, and it is immeasurable in impact. It has spawned, I would say, some of the greatest horror franchises of all time. A lot of people who make modern horror do harken back to the original Nightmare on Elm Street as sort of an inspiration for their careers.
It's
So.
st still such a great movie to watch. I mean, there are other movies in the fr in that franchise or whatever, hit or miss, blah blah blah. That first one, it's still a great movie to watch.
Absolutely, 100% is. And unfortunately, opening on the same day, November 9th, 1984, Silent Night, Deadly Night. Now, I have to ask, who in their marketing department was like, because at this point, Wes Craven would have been a semi-established director. And I mean, because he would have had Last House on the Left and maybe a couple other movies come out before this, like The Hills Have Eyes, maybe. And then they're like, yeah, let's release Silent Night, Deadly Night, which, don't get me wrong, is not bad, but I just feel like that was not exactly the best way to do that.
Maybe not. I don't. I don't know if they even thought about that stuff as much back then, though. What they were going head to head with, they're probably their thoughts was to get a good month, a month and a half run, before leading into Christmas. But yeah, I don't know. I love Silent Night, Deadly Night. I think it's one of the top Christmas horror movies of all time. Still a fun watch. I did see that they're putting out a Silent Night, Deadly Night snow globe. With
Oh.
the poster with the chimney with the arm with the axe that's sticking out of it that's on the poster.
Yeah.
That's what's in the snow globe, and it's so cool. It's like pretty expensive though, but it's so cool looking. I'm like, God, I would love that snow globe. But I do love me some Silent Night, Deadly Night. I don't I guess they weren't. I mean, no matter what, A Nightmare on Elm Street was a new movie. Who knew what it would do, and they were just probably thinking of the timing in relation to Christmas, I would guess.
You know, that makes sense. I was just thinking, man, like you said, they probably didn't really think about it as much as they do now, like with strategizing releases and stuff. But I don't know. I just feel like with Wes Craven probably having some success prior to that, releasing a movie, any kind of movie on the same time as him would have been probably not a good idea. But To be fair, we still remember the movie, so.
Yeah, I mean, in that time period, horror was not like, you know, a predominant draw. It was still a niche little market. So it's not like they were probably more looking at what's the blockbuster movies coming out of that time that we would have to go against, maybe, you know, the mainstream movies, because that's going to pull away from everything at that time. Would probably more what they would look at than, you know, the other horror movies is, you know, we don't want to go, you know, head to head with a John Hughes movie or something at that time. And
Right.
so I don't know. And again, I don't know if marketing for movies is, don't think it's probably as honed a craft as it is now. They were probably like, let's just get the movie out so we can get a good, you know, 6 week run or whatever before Christmas, and so be it. So.
There you go. Well, like you said, we definitely look at that a lot more these days, I feel like, when it comes to, you know, hey, when should this movie release or when should this movie not release? But
Yeah.
moving on to November the 9th, 1988, so 4 short years later, we have Child's Play, another iconic character in franchise with Chucky. Child's Play is a fantastic film, of course, the OG, and we were just talking about how every, you know, decade, every generation has defining characters, and I would say that, you know, Chucky was a defining character of the late 80s, early 90s.
Yep, I would agree. And still a great character to this day. Still a very prominent character to this day. I just recently, you know, rewatched the majority of the Child's Play films, and we're getting ready to speak of it again. But I still think 1-2 is a pretty good punch. I like them. You know, they ones are I think ones are, you know, a really great film. I really love it. And I don't think 2 is quite as strong. It's got a few drawbacks, things that I would probably have done differently, but if it were me, but still pairs pretty good with the first one. But you know, it's definitely unique when you think about that time period. You know, Vic coming out, it's there's nothing like it. And it's, I mean, if you really, you know, yes, there were some things that were doll related to horror here and there, you know, an episode of the Twilight Zone and different things prior to this, but this was pretty unique, and its approach. And yeah, like you said, definitely established one of the most iconic horror characters of all time.
Yeah, absolutely is. But speaking of iconic horror movies of all time, the same character a mere 2 years later, we had November 9th, 1990, Child's Play 2. Now, like, you know, Dave said, it's a pretty solid 1-2 punch, 1-2. Two had its drawbacks, but it was still a pretty good movie. We got Kyle, which was probably one of the better characters that were produced from those films, and you know, I quite like her character in the more recent iterations with the TV show and whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, 1-2 is a pretty good little 1-2 punch, and you know, only 2 years apart, which was pretty slow for that time. Usually they had those babies pumped out every 9 to 12 months, so
Yeah.
two years we're starting to slack a little here. What's going on, guys?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I've always had a qualm that I wish the mom had been in the second one in some capacity again, and or maybe, you know, the detective from the first one had been in it in some capacity. I mean, you know, it's like a little more continuity. I mean, I know it carries on from the first film, but maybe, you know, a couple more reappearing characters. But you know, it is what it is. I don't know the reasoning of it, more money or scheduling or what it is. They did explain why they're not there, or at least the mom, you know, and everything. And I get it. And you know, still, but it's a good film. It's a fun film. Not quite as strong as the first one, but it does pair pretty well with it. And then, you know, the third one's okay, but it definitely goes in a kind of a different direction. But I still think the third one's pretty fun. But
Yeah, third one's pretty fun. After that, I started getting a little wacky, but you know, it is Child's Play after all.
you know, it's a possessed doll. I mean, you know, it's got wacky just woven into it.
True, very true. Speaking of wacky, November 12, 1982, Slumber Party Massacre. Now, I've actually never seen Slumber Party Massacre,
So
but it
fun.
But it's just, you know, from what I know, it's just a fun little slasher, right?
It is. It is. But it's such a It's great. It's a really, 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 it, not like it's high quality great, but it's just a fun sign of the times, a 1982 kind of slasher movie. And it's, I mean, to me, it's an iconic. I'm 99% sure they remade this at some point. I don't, I've never seen the remake, but I'm pretty sure there is a remake. But you know what? I'm sticking with the original because it's some 80s goodness.
Yeah, there was a remake in 2021, actually,
Yeah,
and
no.
it's
No, thank
yeah.
you. I'll stick with 82. Not saying it's a bad film, but I'll stick with the original because I love the original.
It looks like there was three originals, like from 82, 87, and then 1990, and then of course the remake in good old 2021. So
There you
have to
go.
check those out sometime.
Yeah, I love the original. It's just fun.
And speaking of release strategies, released on the same day, on November 12th, 1982, Creepshow, which I do know, I have seen Creepshow. It's a great movie. It's a good little anthology for those who have never seen it. The TV show is pretty good. I've seen the OG Creepshow and Creepshow 2. I have not seen Creepshow 3, but I don't know how that stacks up against the other two.
Not quite as good. The first one's just absolutely great. I mean, you're talking directed by Romero, got Stephen King in it, and tons of, I mean, Tom Atkins, who we mentioned earlier, is in it. There's lots of people in Creepshow. Leslie Nielsen's in it, Adrian Barbeau. Shit, I can't even remember who all else. Lots of people in it, but again, just very inspired by the old EC comics from back in the day, the Tales from the Crypt type stuff. That definitely the inspiration for this. I mean, so much so that the character, whatever he's called off the Creep Show, very much looks like kind of like the Crypt Keeper, but just it's just a fun film, and it's kind of an anthology type thing too, where with the different segments, and it's just again, when you harken back to some prime 80s stuff, this is right there. This is just a great display of 80s horror, and I love it. Love me some Creepshow.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, famous, or not famous, but well, maybe a little famous, but good stuff that happened in the 80s. And like you said, it had a pretty stacked cast. I mean, and who can always forget George Romero? I mean, come on, love George Romero.
Yeah, I mean,
Any
lots of. I
guy.
mean, when lots of people talk about 80s stuff, I mean, Creepshow comes up a lot. It's worthy. It's up there, especially. I know you had franchises and whatnot that were rolling through the 80s, but as far as just films that popped up despite that, I mean, Creepshow gets a lot of love, and it deservedly so.
Absolutely. But moving on to November 12th, 1998, we have The Faculty from, I mean, The Faculty is fantastic. For people who have not seen this movie, this is 100%, I would say, one of my favorite horror movies from the 90s. I mean, not only do you have what I would say is a all-star cast for the time. I mean, it was directed by Robert Rodriguez, so I mean, take that for what you will. He's pretty good. But you have, Josh Hartnett is in this movie, Salma Hayek, Famke Janssen, who plays Jean Grey in some of the X-Men movies, Robert Patrick, Usher, John
T2.
Stewart, yep, T2. Let's see, Elijah Wood was in that movie. Like, holy shit. There's another person in that movie I'm not going to mention because he's kind of an asshole, but there's a lot of people in this movie, just a lot of people in this movie, and it's just fantastic. Good movie. If you've not seen it.
Yeah, and I, again, we're not gonna pipe because we have said this so many times. Talk about this movie and a few others similar to that. There is several movies in the 90s that are I feel are underappreciated, and that just don't get discussed. I don't know why they don't come up enough when you talk about things. And I understand, during a lot of this time period, a lot of it was outshined by the Scream franchise and what was going on there, but still. The faculty and the I Know What You Did Last Summers and stuff. There's there's some underappreciated work there, and I do feel the faculty is one of those movies that just it never gets I don't know it never gets the proper respect. It doesn't seem like It's just weird, right? It's just doesn't it, I don't know, doesn't get talked about the way that I feel like it should.
No, it doesn't. And I think that's just a symptom of it being made in the 90s,
It
unfortunately.
is, right? I feel like, the 90s are, I mean, and maybe that'll cycle through a little bit at some point, right? And I don't know, but it's just 90s, a lot of 90s horrors is very underappreciated and overlooked. And I'm not saying, it's as great as some other things, and I understand maybe it didn't draw on the level of, the 80s, or there wasn't as many films drawing as, I get that, but you still, I don't know, I've always had this vision and this look at horror by the decade to me. And and while the 90s, I don't know, a lot of people don't talk about it as prime years or whatever, but there's a lot of good stuff there that I feel like people don't give it a fair shake because they're too
Right.
busy, and I trust me, I'm a guy that loves the 80s stuff probably more than anybody, but that doesn't mean you can't appreciate, some of that 90s stuff, and what it was doing. So I just feel like it's high time to give some of that stuff a fair shake and, rewatch and a little more appreciation.
Absolutely. 100% true. I would add it to that list, and if you don't watch it out there, folks, you're missing out. But moving on to another November 12th, just a few years later in 2004, The Seed of Chucky, The Downfall of Us All. It truly is a remarkable event when you can quite literally see the death of a franchise in real time. I say that with hyperbole because, truth be told, the Chucky franchise has quite literally bounced back from oblivion multiple times. The Seed of Chucky, it is unwatchable in my opinion, but they bounced back. They made some cool little independent films, Curse of Chucky and things like that. And then they bounced back again and made, three seasons of a TV show, right? 3 seasons.
And I feel like there's no need to believe they won't bounce back again now as they
Right.
have to reinvent. That's the one, and we've said this before. We have literally said, we've had this pondered this question, when you want to say what is the most impactful horror franchise of all time, can there not be a legitimate article or argument made for the Child's Play franchise purely because we have sat here and seen the very first film came out in 1988. Here we are now in 2024. And we've never really had a period without Child's Play for any prolonged period. When something dips, the movies dip, they reinvent themselves and they do something different. When they have to get to the point where they do a straight to DVD, they need to refocus, they do a TV series. When the TV series gets canceled, now they're going to refocus and make another movie. They constantly stay active and constantly stay out there. And we're talking however many years, what, 30, whatever, 36 years, 35 years, something like that.
Right.
And we've not had any prolonged, super prolonged period without Chucky. Much like we have with pretty much every other franchise, where it's had Halloween's probably maybe the next closest without this a super gap, but there have been some gaps. We'll still talk about Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th, though, where that's whatever. I mean, it's just, whether, I mean, if you look at it completely impartial, not like what you like or what you appreciate or the best overall quality, but just as far as longevity and impactfulness, Child's Play might, there's an argument to be said it is the most impactful franchise in horror history because it's always there in some capacity. And Chucky is iconic and Chucky sells merchandise. And Chucky draws in whatever way they put out. But again, for 30, going on 40 years, Chucky's always been there. We've not
Yeah.
gone any large gaps without Child's Play content of some sort. And there's something to be said about that. There's also something to be said about the fact that, and again, I know I'm on a tangent here, I won't ramble long, but through this entire thing, they've kept a continuity. They've never completely with outside the remake, right? The remake movie. Everything acknowledges everything else. There's never been a completely, okay, we're gonna not worry about skip certain movies, blah blah blah. Not that there's anything wrong
Right.
with that, but Child's Play's always said never. It's always had continuity through everything, through the movies, through the TV series. Everything has acknowledged what came before it, and Don Mancini has said whatever they do next, it'll continue that. They are big on this. I love that. I love that. They acknowledge what came before. They acknowledge the history. The TV series was spectacular in acknowledging those things and being creative. I don't know. Just I that is a long way to say. I'm not saying it's my favorite franchise, but if I'm going to be completely 100% honest, Child's Play might be the most impactful horror franchise in the history of horror.
Wow. It's I could definitely see someone making that argument, but I mean I would
I'm not going on box office numbers. I'm not going on any of that. I'm just talking about impactfulness in pop culture and in the public eye and continuity wise, how there's always stuff out there relevant. It might be the most continuously relevant. Maybe that's a better way to put it. Continuously relevant franchise in horror history.
Now that I would actually agree with. It has maintained significant relevance in the public eye or in pop culture one way or another. I mean, Chucky was on WCW at one point. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, he expands beyond just the realms of like what we normally see. I mean, he is also in Call of Duty.
He has a Twitter or X account, right? And
He
everything.
does.
I mean, yeah, that's a better way to put it, right? A continually relevant franchise. Maybe not impactful. Impactful was the wrong word that I misspoke. But of continually relevant. And staying in the public eye and putting something out there that's not just, putting the face on another t-shirt and just doing that. You know what I mean? Actually doing things, having new product, new content out there. I don't know. There's an argument to be made to me that Child's Play's that. And I don't know. I don't know what you could say is anything else. Because again, for 37 years, there's not been any huge lulls where Child's Play has not been an active franchise. Not just merchandising and, depending on the past. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I'm just saying there's not been any lulls where there's not been some form of new Chucky content or Child's Play content put out.
Yeah,
So.
no, you're not wrong. Like we said, they have consistently always come back from the brink every single time.
They're very, very good. At marketing and knowing and anticipating and doing something different. I mean, again, you and I have had these discussions all the time. Horror needs to explore more. The big horror franchises need to explore more the series format as far as a fresh take. And I don't understand how Chucky did it, and it was hugely successful. Only canceled, I don't think it was canceled because of anything, because of viewership or whatever else. It's one of those, shows don't run very long, whatever it might be. Why other franchises can't see of, God dang, Chucky did it. You know what? If we did a Michael Myers series of some form, a Freddy Krueger series of some form, it'll be huge. And try something. Take a swing and not just do the same old thing. And Child's Play is not afraid to swing. And I love it. It's great. I love when they try stuff. So again,
Yeah.
sorry. I know this spawned off the anniversary of Seed of Chucky, and we just rambled a long time, but I feel very passionate about the importance of the relevance of Child's Play franchise and how they do a lot of things right that should be blueprints for what horror franchises should do, and how they approach and try to stay relevant. And in the public eye, that other franchises, it's like they're afraid to take risks and afraid to try something fresh and different. And Child's Play says, "Fuck that. There's no rules. We're gonna do whatever." And I really wish more franchises would I don't know, stay with the times a little better. You know what I mean? They feel like they have to have this movie come out and there's no other options. And that's just not true.
Yeah.
And, and every time we get excited about something like Crystal Lake, it's like, but okay, but what's happening with it? We were so excited, and now it's just like, it's still supposedly happening, but it's already had controversy around it and people coming and going, and it's just like, come on. It's the same old Friday the 13th stuff, right? There's lawsuits and controversies and arguments, and it's come on, people. Just, it's frustrating. And I'm
It
sorry.
is. No, you're good. You're 100% right. It's all about that developmental hell that a lot of these, creations end up in. And who knows? See what happens next for Child's Play as well as Crystal Lake.
And
We'll
I
see.
get it. Child's Play had some of that too early on. There was a
Yeah.
lawsuit, right, about who developed Child's Play. Tom Holland wanted a cut of that pie, saying that he had some of the creation, and he lost, and it fell back on Dan Mancini as creating it. And again, but it's one of those things where it's not a hard feelings thing, right? Tom Holland, it's like, okay, well, whatever. I put a lot of work into that first script and a lot of rewrites in that first script, but Don Mancini created this franchise and that character, so it falls back on him, as it should. And the buck stops with him, as it should. And then, but yet you have these other franchises where it's like there's all these people who stake a claim to having developed Friday the 13th, or de and developed or created Jason Voorhees. And back in the 80s, no one thought of this stuff, right? Of who did what and who, whatever. Because they're just trying to make a horror film and they don't think about what it's going to become in the future. And now here we are
Yeah.
locked, we've been locked in lawsuits and this and that. And it's just like, you know what? The horror fan just wants to see Jason out there somehow. And they can't get their heads out of their asses and get this stuff settled to just give the people something. And again, right or wrong, whether you love it or not, Child's Play doesn't have that crap. They're just putting stuff out and taking a risk and seeing, whoop, if it works or it doesn't work. Like Seed of Chucky, right? Okay, you hate it. A lot of people don't like it, but they took a chance. They did something, and they're like, okay, well, that didn't work real well. Let's try something different. And it's like, I love that approach. I really love their creative approach, and I wish more franchises could get over themselves and do some of that.
Yeah, for sure. And Seed of Chucky certainly didn't work, but that's just my opinion.
Well, but again, you take a swing, and sometimes it doesn't work. And
Right.
whatever, they tried something. So, but yeah, we've got a ways to go here. So I will step off my soapbox and.
It's all good, but it's what happens. But our last movie anniversary here is November 13th, 1933, The Invisible Man. Of course, this is one of our, OG horror films from back in the day, the Universal Monsters. And The Invisible Man is eclectic and unique in that he has been remade a number of times, and I would say all of his iterations have some level of success, and but they all started in 1933.
Yeah, and again, watch the original, and Marvel. Keep in mind, in Marvel, they made that movie in 1933, and just look how good the effects are, and how they did it, and keep in mind everything they did to get that Invisible Man effect. They had to make it up and create it. It didn't exist, and it's really, really good. It is really, really, really great effects, especially for having to create it on the fly and figure out a way to do it. It's like, oh, we want to create an Invisible Man. Figure out how to do it, and they did, and it was great. So I love the Invisible Man. It's one of the, like you said, one of the original Universal core classics, and it's a great film.
Yeah, absolutely. Love, love, love the Invisible Man character. Like you said, just a classic, and hopefully we keep getting more content from that. I'd love to see them do another swing at that, maybe make it a little more spooky. The Invisible Man movie they made with
Yeah,
whatever her name
was that
is.
who did that? Was that wasn't a Kevin Bacon movie, was it?
That there was a Kevin Bacon version that was like in the 90s. There was another one more
Oh, another one.
recently with
Yeah,
the
yeah,
woman
yeah.
from A Handmaid's Tale. I always forget her
Yeah.
name.
That's a pretty good movie.
Yeah, I would like to see them do it a little more scary though, like a little more like monster-ish. Like I don't know how they do it, but I feel like a little scarier, that would be cool too.
Yeah. I mean, an Invisible Man's a terrifying thought. So, yeah, you can really, I mean, a guy that's standing could be anywhere and unnoticed. Oof, that's creepy.
Bad it is. But all right. Moving on to a couple of upcoming releases. A24's Heretic is coming to theaters November the 8th, starring Hugh Grant, Sophie Thatcher, Chloe East, and others. It is described as two young religious women are drawn into a game of cat and mouse in the house of a strange man. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. I am very excited for this movie because the trailers are very confusing to me, and I'm just very, very, very curious about what's going to happen. So, very pumped for that. And of course, it's A24. A24 is just pumping out just absolute gems these days. So,
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it again. Like you said, it's an A24 film, so I'm looking forward to it. I love the concept of thinking of Hugh Grant playing kind of the villain, the bad guy, because that works, right? He always, I know he's had some hooker trouble in the past, but he strikes you as that, you're right, this distinguished kind of guy that, you know, with his accent and whatever else. And sometimes those kind of guys make the best villains. That subtle villain, right? Where he's, when you watch the commercial and he's subtle in the commercial, right? Because you don't see him full bore. And I like that. And I think, I don't know what it's very weird. I don't know. There's a maze. I don't know what it is. I guess that's by their design, but I'm very curious as to what this movie exactly is about. It looks like it has some religious connotations. I don't know.
right.
I don't know if that's a prime theme of the movie. I don't know, but I'm very much looking forward to this movie. I think it's going to, you know, it's going to be great. What I've seen as far as people that have seen it, you know, preview showings, whatever, said it's a seems to be pretty solid. I really think this is going to be probably the next horror movie that does really well on the opening weekend on box office. I venture to guess, I would venture to say this will probably be a number one movie on its opening weekend again, continuing that streak of horror movies opening at number one on their weekend. So,
Yeah,
yeah, I think this will probably continue on.
I would agree with that. I would. I think it's going to be pretty solid. So, but we will see this weekend, and we will let you all know how that went next week. But moving on to Black Cab, starring Nick Frost, comes to Shudder on November 8th, and is described as a couple find their jovial cab driver diverts them to a remote haunter road, revealing disturbing motives and his true intentions. Of course, I'll watch anything with Nick Frost in it. I love Nick Frost. Fantastic actor. I mean, he of course, for people who don't know, is known for the Cornetto trilogy, a series of movies with his best pal, Simon Pegg, and their other best pal, what is it? The guy who directs those movies?
Edgar Wright.
Edgar Wright, yep. Edgar Wright, who I feel like just the three of them just have a lot of fun together, and that's why
They
they
do.
keep making movies.
They do. And I have seen things about this movie, heard some good stuff about it. This is a movie I've really been kind of excited to come out because again, it's that deal where Nick Frost is such a fun guy, right? You see him in things and he kind of plays a goofball, right? And everything you see him in, for the most part, right, he's this goofy guy, and play, you know, through Spaced and in Shaun of the Dead and all these things. He's kind of this goofy, jovial kind of guy. Those kind of guys, when they play a bad guy, villain type character, that's what really it's really creepy. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what he does. I think this is where he gets to really show us a side of himself that maybe he didn't get to do a lot. This is a movie though that, since I first heard about it, I've really been looking forward to seeing it. I can't wait. From the date of recording, we're just a few days out from seeing it or it being released. And I can't wait, man. I'm looking forward to it. And again, another movie, you know, we talk about Screambox and Shudder bringing us some good stuff. I mean, I talked about the stuff I watched earlier. Most of that was Screambox Shudder type stuff. And this is another that Shudder's bringing us that is super exciting to me.
Yeah, Absolutely. Shudder's always bringing out those bangers. But moving on to Hard Eyes, coming to theaters February 7, 2025 from Spyglass Media Group. It will star Devon Sawa, Olivia Holt, Mason Gooding, and more. The movie is described as, for the past several years, the Hard Eyes killer has wreaked havoc on Valentine's Day by stalking and murdering romantic couples. This Valentine's Day, no couple is safe. I love a good Valentine's Day massacre. Love like my Bloody Valentine and any of those other movies that kind of happen around the same, same concept. They kill people because they don't like couples or whatever the case might be. I love those types of things, especially when they utilize holidays to their advantage. So I will definitely be watching this.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, Spyglass Media, has brought us some of the Scream movies and everything else. It's got a pretty good cast. Of course, Mason Gooding, most recently or fairly recently, one of the core four and those couple of Scream movies that were out. And so it's got a pretty good cast. And I like the concept, right? I like the you have the Hard Eyes killer, so you got this character, this villainous character. I'm a sucker, like you said. I'm a sucker for holiday centered horror movies, whatever it might be. I don't know. There's something about it that I love, and this is I'm excited. I think it's gonna be fun, and I can't wait to see it. I highly suspect when it comes time, we'll probably be reviewing this, and I look forward to it. I know we're a little ways off, a few months off. We got a lot to go between here and there, but something to look forward to. Again, in 2025, here we go again. This is a movie to look forward to next year, every year. Just it's wonderful. I love being a horror fan right now.
Absolutely. Not never a better time to be a horror fan than it is now in this generation. So, with that being said, we had a lot to talk about, but we got through all of our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and upcoming releases. So, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have our official review of this week's movie, Azrael. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/wrasslpod. That is linktr.ee/rasslepod. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right. And we're back here and listen to the screams. It is review time. We are reviewing Azrael, which got a limited theatrical release on September 27th and then released October 25th on Shudder. For that limited theatrical release, it did gross $282,719 domestically on its opening weekend, which was good for number 18 on the box office charts for the weekend. The movie was written by Simon Barrett, directed by E.L. Katz, starring Samara Weaving, Vic Carmen-Sunde, Nathan Stewart Jarrett, and others. We will keep this fairly brief because we have rambled quite a bit. This episode's running a little long, and I'm gonna be blunt here. I did not like this movie. I'm just gonna be oof. Like I had trouble at first thinking that Samara Weaving. It's like, where did I see her? What have I seen her in? What have I seen her in? She was the one in the opening segment of Scream 6. That was it. That got killed. It clicked to me there finally. I don't know. I just wasn't. This movie didn't work for me. The not talking for the majority of the movie just, I don't know, felt like a Quiet Place thing to me. I don't know, putting up these biblical verses and biblical prophecy. I don't know. It didn't seem to work for me. This apparently took place after the rapture, and everything. I don't know. It just. This movie kind of felt all over the place a little. I don't know. It just didn't have a flow for me. And I don't know. It didn't click, right? It had some decent little fight type scenes and some kills in there and what not. But as far as the flow of the movie, the plot of the movie, I don't know. It didn't it just didn't hold me. It didn't feel cohesive. It didn't have a like a groove going. I didn't feel like it was building the suspense or, I don't know. It didn't hold my attention. I was struggling just thinking, God, come on, get done. This is not, I'm not a fan. Just I'm gonna be quite point blank. This movie did not jive with me. Not saying it won't jive for others. I know, what everybody likes a different flavor of ice cream, but this one was just, it's not for me. Not a movie I will watch again. I do love Samara Weaving, but this, and she was good in the movie. Don't get me wrong, she was great. She did well. The acting was fine in it. No issues there with everybody. There's just some weird things. This that weird again. I'm not giving away specific spoilers to things, but the weird breathing chant thing they did. I don't know. It's just kind of peculiar as opposed to just. I don't know. It's like they had a bowl full of ideals, and they just tried to find ways to put it all together, and it didn't. I don't know. It didn't work. So I don't know. Not my favorite. Not my cup of tea. Just not a movie for me, I will say. So, Ike, give me some of your thoughts.
Well, so I'm going to say, so let me first preface this by saying that I did not mind the movie. However, the movie requires a great amount of context in order for it to be truly enjoyable. And in my opinion, movies should be able to provide that context in some way, shape, or form. But I did find this movie lacking that context, as you know, it is a pretty much an unspoken movie. There's no spoken dialogue from any of the main characters except for like one random guy.
Yeah, what was that even about? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't have any singular clue as to why that guy was speaking. My
Yeah,
only thought.
they didn't explain. Yeah, why was this? Why did this one guy talk? I thought when I saw this, I again spoiled. I know there's some spoilers, and we try to be spoiled. But when I saw this guy, I thought, oh, there's something happening here, where there's a whole segment that don't subscribe to what's happening. You're just not talking. But nah, it didn't really, they didn't go anywhere with it.
Right.
I don't understand what purpose that guy even served. No, let me backtrack. I do understand what he served in the movie. And at point, I don't understand what purpose him talking had to do with anything. It didn't add, I don't know. I felt like I missed something. The fact that he spoke didn't seem, because they gave no explanation, it seemed weird to me. I don't know.
So I will say this. I think I have a reasoning as to why they didn't speak, and I think that I have a reasoning as to why he did speak. The reason that they didn't speak was because they couldn't. I believe that they were a part of a cult who cut out their vocal cords, because she had a very distinguishable scar on her throat. So I think that she did not have the ability to speak. And I think that he was basically just some random guy who is probably part of another group of survivors from elsewhere who is trying to live as normal of a life as they can. So that's my guess. My guess is that she cannot speak and he just can because he's part of a different group of people, is my guess.
I guess. I don't know.
That is at least my interpretation.
It
Now, obviously,
didn't seem to add anything plot-wise to the movie.
the only thing it really does is say that there are other people in the world because
I
obviously this is
guess.
supposed to be post-apocalyptic. But like you said, it doesn't do much except for expand on a world that we didn't really need to be expanded upon. If anything, it just added a sort of a diversion in some way from the main story, and it just kind of made you question things. But I will say that, I do like some of that. I do like it when movies add some of like that religious undertones. While not a believer myself, I do enjoy some of the, apocalypse and the, study of the apocalypse and the rapture. The concept of that is very interesting in some ways. And Asriel is, often depicted as a angel of revenge or angel of justice of some way. So, her being Asriel would make sense. She's, an angel of death, revenge, justice, because she's, exacted revenge. So I do like some of that. And then of course you have like the monsters, because as everyone knows, there are monsters in this, of some sort. I'm not going to say what I think they are, because I think it might spoil part of it. But yeah, I think that those are very interesting creatures. They're kind of scary. And I do like the Rapture feel of it. It's just that the movie itself was not super cohesive, and I felt like it was really missing some pretty key context that, unless you're able to really obtain that context tertiarily, it's really hard to watch in the movie. So I do think that it worked against itself in that way.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me, Azrael is the cat in Smurfs, or it's a character in Batman. And like you said, as far as some of that, I don't feel like, yeah, there wasn't enough context given in this film. I don't know. I don't feel like this movie required the non-speaking. There could have been limited, but I think it, could have been okay. I mean, I understand. They weren't speaking to not be noticed by these, whatever they were, demons or whatever those things were. I don't even know. And I get that, but I think there could have been some limited dialogue to help with some of this. I don't know. Like I said, the movie just felt very, I don't know, choppy. Didn't really have a flow to it. And I don't know, just didn't work for me. I don't feel like. Not saying there wasn't some bones to it that could have been, built a little better. I just feel like maybe there should have been another pass or two on this to kind of tweak their approach. And then also I feel like I kind of maybe feel like the editing, not the editing and the quality of what you saw, but the editing as in the flow of the movie, the order of the scenes. I don't know, some of that could have been maybe better done. And were they, I don't know. I mean, there was a couple scenes that didn't add a lot to the movie. And it felt a little sporadic and all over the place. And that didn't help what was going on. And a lot of that was like, in a movie like A Quiet Place, and there's the Quiet Place movies, the not speaking adds to the suspense of the movie, right? And helps build that. And it didn't really in this. I understand it served a purpose. I knew what the purpose was, but it was more an annoyance as opposed to adding to the suspense. I don't know. It just didn't. Maybe it's because they didn't throw in enough of those nearly making a sound to get themselves in trouble type thing. You know what I mean? To I don't know. It was just weird. There was a lot of things that we just had to. Except to take at face value as they were what they were, which probably could have. I don't know. I felt like maybe, I don't know, maybe a flashback scene or two to give a little explanation of some of this or something. You know what I mean? Something, it just needed something to give a little more context.
It really did. It required a lot more exposition than we were provided, given that we were provided none. So I do think that it was, it's just, I think that the movie was trying to be too niche. I think the movie was trying to be too, like, subliminal, I guess. And it worked against itself big time. Don't get me wrong, it was a decent movie. It was fun to watch. It's just, I didn't quite understand what I was watching until I really sat and thought about it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You have to have a little degree of just being able to draw in some general viewership without completely losing them. I'm not saying you have to explain everything for everybody, but it can't be at such high level that you're going to make it an effort and a job to watch your movie. And I understand it's a fine line. It's hard to determine where that point is. But when you're talking like this, which dependent on a lot of biblical context, that you're assuming that everybody watching your film understands these biblical the biblical context. And I don't think that's a fair assumption that they needed something to explain a little more. I understand they said the rapture, the rapture, the rapture, but it's, if I hadn't read the description of the movie where it said something about it was a kind of a female-led society now, right? Where there was nothing in the movie that really foretold, gave that directly where you knew this. I mean, I don't know, there were signs of, I don't know. I felt like you had to concentrate a little. I don't know. I don't even know. It was just all over the place, and very, just not a smooth watch for me. So I don't know. But if I would love for it, all the listeners and followers to, number one, give it a watch, right? I mean, support the film, support the platform, Shudder. We love Shudder. We love what they do. So give it a chance. And I would, but I would love some feedback on if people agree with me that, there were some shortcomings on some giving context to this stuff that maybe would have made the movie a little smoother, a little more palatable to watch, that it just needed something, a little more to it. I would just love to hear some feedback for some other viewers, to let us know what you think on, again, the movie had something. It was missing some things to really make it work. And I would love to hear some more opinions from some of our followers and listeners on what they think the movie was missing, if they thought it was missing anything at all. So let's again, we've gone long in this episode. Let's start to wind this down. Ike, what are you rating this thing? Asriel, available now on Shudder. Out of five screams, what are you giving it?
I'm just going to give it a run-of-the-mill three. I haven't given a movie a three in a while. It's just this movie, it really tried. I give it an A for effort. I give it a lot of positives for the action. I give it a lot of positives for cool character design and monster design. Because I did enjoy the movie, I can't say that I didn't. And I think that the bare minimum of being enjoyed is a three in my opinion. So it's like, it's right in that 2.5 line though, because there's just no exposition, there's no explanation for anything, and then just you lose a little bit of that touch when there's nothing to explain what the hell's going on. So I'm gonna go up there's a mediocre three right down the middle.
Yeah, I mean, a three, like we said, a three is when a movie is just kind of middle of the ground, got some enjoyment wherever else. For me personally, I can't give it a three. I didn't have that enjoyment. Had there been a little more context, a little more whatever it is, we can't put our finger on that it's missing exactly. If there had just been a little more of whatever that is, it probably would have bumped it to a three for me. Because again, the movie had, there's something there. But it's missing too much for me to work, so I'm gonna have to drop it all the way to a two. This is a 2 out of 5 for me. Did not work. Whatever it's missing is just it's too substantial for me. It's not just like a little here and there. This to me is really missing something key to make the movie fluid and to make the movie cohesive. And it just therefore it just wasn't an enjoyable watch. Even though the action scenes were great, the acting was good, the design of some of the characters, like you said, was good. There's so much missing in this cohesiveness for me as a viewer that it's not enjoyable. It takes away from everything for me, and none of that matters to me because of it. So yeah, I'm dropping it to a two. So if we're averaging out, we're giving this a 2.5, which I think's fair. I think it's probably about where we're. 2.5 to 3 average is where we're based on our comments. I think it's where we're falling on this movie. It's a middle of the road to slightly under middle of the road type film. There was again some things to enjoy, but there's some work that needed to be done here that to really establish it as a little bit better film. So once again, I urge you guys to go watch it though, because I want feedback. I would love to hear. I'm very curious about hearing what other people are thinking of this movie, because I don't know. It's just this is a very perplexing movie to me. Because like I've said multiple times, there's some stuff there, and I can't put my finger on the pulse of exactly what it needs to make it click. But there's something missing, and to really make it work. And so I would love to hear a little more feedback outside of mine and Ike's opinions. So respond to some of our posts on social media. Let us know what you thought of this movie. If you have seen it, and if you've not, go watch it. It's on Shudder, right? Most of our listeners, I would like to think, probably subscribe to Shudder, so it's there, man. Go give it a watch. It's there, and let us know what you think. It's not a long movie. It's not a long watch.
No.
You're not investing a whole day in this thing. So give it a shot, and I may be the outlier. This thing may work for everybody else, and that's cool. That's fine. But I would love to hear some more feedback from some other viewers of this movie. But we have already discussed that next episode we're going to review Heretic from A24, which comes out, what was it, the 8th? Was that the date? Comes out the 8th in theaters, with Hugh Grant and some others in it. I'm very excited about this movie. I think this is going to be a fun watch, I hope. But we'll see. Next episode, you'll hear from us and what we truly thought of it. But this is a movie that, based on the teaser trailers and the posters and everything else that's been out there, has really, really caught my attention. And I think it's going to be a fun film to watch. So we'll see if it pans out. And you can hear that on the next episode. Before we get out of here, we would like to give a special thank you to our wives, who support us in the time we put into this and everything we do. I know I've said this multiple times, but they will be back on the show soon for some form of a wives rebuttal or some form of a segment in some way. We know you guys like hearing them on here. You like hearing the heated debates that we get into and the give and takes. But believe it or not, even though we live in the house, same household with these women, there is some scheduling issues because, everybody's got lives and jobs and other things. So it's hard for the four of us to nail down a time to do this, but we'll figure it out. In some capacity, they will be back on this show soon. Well, I guess because you guys demand it. So, but also thank you to all of you, the listeners and the followers, for all your downloads, your listens, your interactions on social media, your likes, your shares, your comments. We love all that. We love hearing from you guys. So keep it up. Everything that we post, Ike says it all the time. We give the news and the birthdays and the anniversaries. Those are also posted on our social media, but we also post other things that we feel are a little more prudent and can't wait till the next episode to mention and to put out there. So we put those out on social media. So there's a lot of things. We can't talk about everything in this podcast, although sometimes when we ramble, I'm sure you guys think we try to talk about everything. So there's a lot that we don't get to talk about through the episode. And a lot of that, though, we put out on social media. So there's other things out there. So make sure you follow us. We're on pretty much everything. You just got to look up Listen to Screams, Listen the number two in Screams. And we're out there. So find us and subscribe to us or follow us. And then also, don't just lurk, right? Interact with us. Give us some comments. Give us some discussion. Give us some shares. We like that interaction. That's what we're all about. So, Ike, we have rambled and rambled and rambled. And I know I've been a lot of that. And it's this. I feel like this has been a very child's play heavy episode. But before we close and get out of here, anything else you want to say?
Well, I mean, it is already past the time in which this event has already occurred, but I hope all of you went out and did your civic duty on the 5th. And I hope that the future us are enjoying the outcome of this process, so we will see what happens. But otherwise, as always, stay safe out there. You never know who's lurking around the corner. Maybe it's us, maybe it's the devil, who knows?
Maybe that's one and the same. Who knows?
True.
But yes, we're not a political podcast. We Ike and I both are. We're actually very politically minded people, but
Yes.
we don't like to intermingle that and discuss that on here. We know that is a divisive topic. But more than anything, no matter who you support, no matter who you vote for, what have you, I just hope that as a nation we begin to heal and we begin to come
Yes.
back together. And we close this damn divide a little bit, and we all start realizing that no matter where you lie, we need to get back to being a country first objective. And part of that means by country, you also means the citizens of the country. And again, I'm not going to spew long on this. I'm not here to argue what your stance or anything else. But we need to heal. We need to be more civil. We need to we just need to. We need to just be better people. And I don't know. So we'll see. We'll see what happens, where it goes. And but I just hope that in our little corner of the world, our little corner here in Screamville, that you know what, we can get along and we can be civil and have fun. And so be it. So all right. Well, that, I think that's it, Ike. Let's get out of here. Again, next episode reviewing Heretic. So go and watch it here on opening weekend. Support horror in theaters. Support horror on streaming platforms. Just support horror in general, every way you can. Please do so. But until next episode, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always have many pleasant nightmares.